Meeting. It's Tuesday, April 18, 2023 at 11:30 a.m. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@missionacademyhs.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. All right, so we're going to open up this meeting and we're going to do a roll call so we can establish a quorum. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck,
present.
Mike Malloy,
present.
John Dorch,
present.
Barbara Willebrand,
present.
All right, so we have four that makes us a quorum, and Barbara Willebrand will be participating but will not be voting in this meeting. So now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and we're going to ask Claudette to do that.
Okay. And place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alright, so now we're going to do staff introductions, and we're going to start with Jeff Brown.
Well, thank you very much, President. Madam President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon, members.
And Jerry Benson.
Good afternoon, board and staff. This is Jerry Benson, Corporate Officer.
All right, school staff.
Good afternoon. It's nice to see everybody in person. Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
And hello, everyone. This is Jenna Eunice, Principal at Mission Academy. I also have with me Administrator Lisa Samuels, who will be helping with the presentation today.
All right. Welcome to both of you. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Martin, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Good to see you. Andy, our school legal counsel.
Good morning, everyone. Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Any advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting?
Good morning, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
And good morning. This is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
And any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right. I'm going to get another ink pen out. First, this one isn't working. So now we're down to 1E, first agenda for the April 18th, 2023, regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I need a motion and a second to approve the
motion. Mike Butler, I make a motion.
John Dorch, second the motion. Mike Malloy, motion. John Dorch is second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dorch.
Aye.
All right, so we have approved 1E by four votes. We're now on 1F, approved minutes of the February 28, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read this. Are there any corrections or comments? And if not, I have a motion and a second to approve 1F.
I'll make a motion to approve 1F.
Mike Malloy, second.
Claudette Beck has motion. Mike Malloy has second. Equal vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
So we have approved this by four votes. We are now for 2, consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. So we have A, 1, and 2. 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised employee handbook. And 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan with virtual instructions and agenda from the school's health and safety plan. Is there anyone who would like to table one of these to have a discussion on them? And if not, can I have a motion or a second to approve 2A, 1, and 2 consent agenda?
John Dorch will move to approve. Mike Malloy will second.
John Dorch has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
So we have approved 2 consent agenda A, 1, and 2 by 4 votes. So now we're in public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, unless a member of the public utilizes a translator. in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public who would like to introduce themselves or make a comment? And if not, Shelley, has anyone contacted you from the public?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
All right. We are now on board. We reported information in a principal update by our lovely Jim, who's present with us.
Hi, hello everyone. This is Principal Eunice with the board update. I want to start by drawing your attention to our increased enrollment. Since our last meeting together, which was about an LP or two ago, we have increased by 133 students. So definitely felt the boom. And our staff is doing just a great job of supporting students and onboarding them with the same quality and care as we do each week when we onboard. We're also experiencing a little bit of an uptick in our special education population and providing increased staffing to support those students. So it's wonderful. I'm glad that we are a place that people are sending their students and special populations especially, because we know that we are uniquely fit to assist them. I want to also just remind everyone, it's state testing season. So even though we're a dashboard alternative status school with 70 plus percent special populations, we know how important state testing is to the public optics and to local accountability. So this year we are really pushing students to show what they know, whether or not they learned it with us, and regardless of the time that they enroll in our program. We're just 6 days into the testing window, and we had already tested 47% of students, which was great, and we're aiming for, of course, 95% test participation. I'm going to speak just briefly about some local accountability metrics, because we have Area Superintendent Lindsay Reese and then Lisa and myself speaking about them later. We know that state testing is not the best indicator of growth and knowledge because our students enroll year-round and they come to us credit deficient in their 11th and 12th grade years sometimes, but our average daily attendance year-to-date is at 87.88%, which is, I think, just fantastic and definitely an increase from our average last year. Our average credit completion from our local metrics is up about half a credit from last year. And our online activity completion, which we track monthly, increased from 15 average activities to 32 from July to March. So we feel like we're doing something right, and we're really proud of that. Let me see. A couple of success stories. I wanted to highlight some alumni. It's so great hearing back from our alumni after they graduated. Our advisors keep in touch with them. One of them was Esther. She's 17 years old. She graduated in February. She's already been accepted by UC Riverside and is on the wait list at UCLA and Caltech.
Woohoo!
And all of those schools, like great schools. She's staying focused and working hard on dual enrollment classes at Pierce College. And she was also participating in dual enrollment through two community colleges while she was finishing high school credits at Mission Academy. So our dual enrollment program is also one that has increased in enrollment this school year, so we're really proud of that. Esther tested in the 99th percentile for math and reading.
Wow.
On her NWEA benchmark assessment as she left our program. She wants to be a neurologist or a NASA engineer. We're hoping that she attends our in-person graduation in June so that we can catch up with her and congratulate her in person. Another success story we have is William, who didn't actually graduate from Mission Academy. He came to us at 18 through a rehab program partner with high needs for academic and social emotional support. He was in a special education program, and while those students typically get 60 minutes of specialized academic instruction each week, William's IEP called for 480 minutes. So we really flexed our team, including our advisors, our tutors, our special education teachers, our school psychologists, to provide those minutes and to ensure that William received what he needed while he was enrolled at Mission Academy. He did transfer to a private institution after being with us, but his mom actually emailed us and said he had graduated and received a significant merit scholarship to attend Woodbury University to study fashion marketing in the fall, And she wanted to let us know what a big difference that we made and thank us for caring for him while he was with us. So success story nonetheless. That concludes my report. I would like to pass it along to Area Superintendent Lindsay Reese to discuss some board metrics that were passed along to y'all.
Thank you. We're passing along a copy of the board metrics that you should have received from the Office of School Governance. Do we need more copies? Do you guys have enough down there to get to all the board members? You can share mine. Perfect. So the board metrics document was created with the help of the Office of School Governance with the intent of having standard performance measurements across all of our charters and to help board members accurately perceive how we're performing. So I want to go through each of the data points. For the most part, the data is accurate. There is a little hiccup when it comes to credit completion. I'll go into more depth in that when we get there. So for ADA, one quick thing. This is data from LP1 through LP8. So we have 13 LPs. LP8 ended March 24th, so last month. As of March 24th, we have 88.29% ADA average, which is phenomenal, especially when we look back to a few years ago. Mission Academy, on average, back then had ADA in the 60% range. So under Jenna's leadership, this team has really shown renewed student engagement, and they use a lot of different techniques to make sure the kids are doing work every single day. And you can see as of LP8, that was one of the higher ADA months. For enrollment, it says 477. Again, this was as of March 24th. I just looked up the enrollment this morning. We're actually at 593 students as of today. So you can see what a huge change is. It's so hard because our program is constantly rolling. And so it's so hard to get a point in time because inevitably those numbers change. I have no doubt we'll be over 600 for our full-time program within the next week or two, especially the rate they're enrolling students right now. You will notice on the data, this looks rather large for LP1. That is because we do have quite a few students who enroll for short-term enrollment during the summertime. For credit completion, so let me get to that. In the online schools, unlike our seat-based schools, measure credits completed. They, just for by way of explanation, they take a course that would normally be a year-long course in a traditional school. We break it up into 10 chunks, and that's what we consider a credit, right? In the online schools, our students complete activities. So it's actually a more accurate measure for us to measure how many activities the average student is doing per month. And so that's why we said this is not quite right, because the way this is being calculated, it's taking data from our student information system and feeding it into a program called Data Design, which is built to calculate credits, not activities. Does that make sense? So we're going to work on getting this cleaned up for future iterations. And eventually, hopefully, we will be aligned with the other Learn for Life schools and be able to measure by credits so that it's consistent across all the schools. We're just not there just yet. But just for comparison purposes, the activity average for the year for students in the online for Admission Academy was 22 to 24 activities. For LP9, that jumped to 32 activities. So they had a big jump in LP9. And as far as core credit, so that was overall credit or activity completion. For core activity completion, approximately 15.7 activities are completed per month, which is equivalent to 73% of all activities completed are core activities. So the majority of activities being completed by students, nearly 75%, are in core subjects, not elective subjects.
You know what,
I know you do. So kudos to Jen and her team. There is a focus on getting core credits done. Electives come and go. They're easy. We can do those later. We really need to focus on building skills with our students, and this is demonstrated in the data for the online schools. And then last but not least, we have graduation rate. So as I mentioned during our board meeting last month, historically as an alternative school, a DAS school, we've used a one-year graduation cohort to measure our effectiveness. That is taking the number of students who are considered seniors in any given school year and measuring the amount of students who graduate. As of LP8, so only March, 62% of our seniors have already graduated, which is phenomenal. By the end of the school year, we actually have until August for our final grad cohort numbers. this is just the beginning. So you can see this is just through March. So you can imagine where we'll be in June, July, and August, actually through August 15th. And that concludes my report on the metrics from for LPs 1 through 8. Are there any questions? In-person schools and seeing how things are done differently. Very unique challenges to having a virtual program, but Jenna's team is paving the way and creating best practices that hopefully can be replicated across all of our schools, whether they're in-person or virtual. The key is engagement and communication. School eligibility for comprehensive support and improvement. The California dashboard is used to determine schools eligible for comprehensive support and improvement. Last year, the California State School Board of Education was denied a waiver from the Federal Department of Education to use the one-year cohort graduation rate, as I mentioned just now and last time we met. So we can no longer use the one-year cohort rate for DAS schools. We have to use a 4 or 5 year grad rate, which can be confusing because you're like, which is it? Let's just call it a 5 year rate because it includes all students who are, would be in there up to their fifth year, and who have graduated. In order to not be in what is considered CSI or comprehensive school improvement, we would have to have a 4 or 5 year graduation cohort rate of 68%. As you can imagine, in a unique program like ours, we have many, many students who start our program in their fourth or fifth year of education. Not only that, they start very credit deficient, very skill deficient. So even if we were magic workers, we wouldn't be able to necessarily get kids that are that far behind to graduate in time for this. That being said, though, doesn't mean that there's not improvement that can be made. And so we're going to continue looking at our practices. How do we make sure kids that are in that window who are eligible to graduate, how do we ensure that they graduate in time for their fourth or fifth year of high school? And due to the unique nature of our program, we focus on meeting kids where they're at, right, and personalizing learning. But sometimes inadvertently what happens is we're following the student's pace maybe too much, and there's some opportunities to help accelerate them to make sure they graduate within that five-year maximum time rate so we can get out of this comprehensive support improvement. But candidly, all DAS schools are probably in this boat right now, not just Learn for Life schools, any DAS schools, because previously we weren't measured by a 4 or 5 year cohort rate. We were measured by a 1 year cohort rate. And I stand by the fact our 1 year cohort rate is very strong. Typically, it's in the 90% range, if not the mid 90s. I think for the online schools, you guys were at like 95, 96%. So we can show that kids, when they are at the right credit level, in our program, we make sure we get them out. It's just we're being measured against a stick that doesn't really make sense for our program. Let's see. The CSI plan is currently under development and will be embedded into our LCAP this year. The plan will include evidence-based strategies to support students and will be developed with educational partner input. The plan is based on school-level needs assessment, and we will identify resource inequities. And the 23-24 CSI plan is within the LCAP and will be approved by the LEA school board in June. This concludes my presentation on eligibility for CSI.
All right, thank you. Any questions from the board? All right, then we're going to move down to 4C, LCAP goals and metrics.
Thank you, Board President, and hello again, everyone. Today, myself and my administrator, Lisa Samuels, will be presenting. Lisa Samuels is overseeing the state and federal reporting for the online schools. So she is actually working on the CSI plan as well. And we are actively working on that and continually looking at metrics and the progress the school has made, both through the local LCAP metrics and through, you know, state accountability metrics. The LCAP goals and metrics report can be found on page 148 of your board packet. Please note the data presented is as of LP7,
which was through January 28th, through the end of the first semester. These numbers continue to evolve through the end of the school year and will be updated again at that time for the board. So we will not be speaking about every metric under the goal, but I would like to highlight some of greatest interest. I'll be presenting on the first two goals, and Ms. Samuels will be presenting on the second two. So goal number one is to increase academic progress. I'd like to point out that the reading lexile scores and math quintile scores that you see on the first page are the average of the first test scores reported in the school year, not a growth metric. Students' first scores in reading did decrease slightly from 1036 to 1033 this year compared to last. The math quintile averages increased from 898 to 900. But again, those are students who are coming to us and testing for the first time in the school year. Our school is currently retesting students for end-of-the-year growth metrics, and we are hopeful the reading lexile average and math quintile average will both show growth by year's end. I look forward to reporting the growth scores at a future board meeting. Our EL grade classification rate also improved from 7 to 10% from this school year to last. Our grad rate is in progress and will increase as more students complete graduation requirements through August 15th. The one-year cohort graduation rate as of August or January 28th was at 15.6%. I believe Ms. Reese referenced the more recent metric, which was already at 60%, and I have no doubt that our graduation rate will get to 90% for that one-year cohort by the end of the school year. Our second goal asks students to gain skills for college and career readiness. Many of the categories will not have valid data until the end of the school year, and I will provide an update at a later date. I would like to share, though, that we have 42 students and counting enrolled in community colleges while also completing high school requirements. This partnership has grown tremendously through the years, and we are now proud to offer two official partnerships with Mission Academy in addition to students finding their own community college enrollment. And I will now hand it over to Ms. Samuels to review the last two LCAP goals.
Thank you. So goal three focuses on increasing the student retention rate. The success rate, which calculates the number of students on the path for graduation, the number of graduates, and the number of students returning to the district schools, has increased from 93.6% to 95.1%. Our retention rate also increased from 82.74% to 87.73%. This is a strong indicator that there's student engagement and the staff are out as well. Our attendance rate increased from 72.32% to 87.88%. This shows incredible progress, and we are hopeful that it continues to increase in the future.
I want to pause there really quick. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to draw the board's attention to that. If you look at 1920 compared to 22-23, we've gone from a 67.9% ADA, our attendance rate, to an 87.88 attendance rate as of January 1st. So that's an incredible increase, 20% increase.
Our dropout rate went from 6.4% to 4.8%, and our suspension and expulsion rate remains at a 0%. Now, finally, our fourth and final goal to increase educational partner engagement has significantly improved this year. Our PAC and ELAC participation increased from 82 in 2021-22 school year to 103. This increase can be attributed to our school award ceremonies and our, you know, high topic interests that we present during those meetings. According to our annual school survey results, 91% of parents feel encouraged to participate. This is an increase from the prior year. 99% of students and 100% of our staff feel safe. 98% of students and staff feel connected to our school. These metrics are a direct result of the creative ways our team continues to keep students engaged. This concludes our summary on the LCAP goals and metrics, and I'll open up for questions and comments.
They feel connected in a virtual setting. I can't emphasize that enough. How incredible. To create a sense of community that 98% of staff and students feel connected in a virtual world. It's very hard to do, as we all learned through the pandemic. So kudos to the team.
So Ms. Samuels, what do you credit the 20% increase in students? I mean, that's a huge increase. Is it just because we're opening back up again or what?
I think that our program is very unique in the sense that, you know, we are able to cater to different needs. Mm-hmm. we, you know, we work with students on an individualized, you know, plan per se. And so there's a lot of kids that come in, and whatever those needs are, I think our school is able to accommodate that. So whether it's, you know, emotional, whether students are sick, whatever it may be, they're credit deficient, I think our school is in a good position to kind of accommodate those needs. And I think the word of mouth that goes out, and you know, through experience from others, that's kind of helping with the increase in enrollment.
This is Principal Eunice. I'd say to focus on data metrics and transparency and goals and accountability through the staff and even to the student level as well. And through our leadership, having Lisa join the leadership team has made a big difference, and having someone who can report these metrics, manage these metrics, and assist me in doing that, and building the systems to engage students has been a real help. And we've noticed that, you know, when you call a student on the phone, their affective filter is already a little bit lower because they're usually in a place where they're not thinking about what other peers might be, you know, saying about them, or watching them, or we tend to be able to cut kind of to the core a little bit faster, I think, because we're having those personal communications with students one-on-one without being in a public setting. So
that's great. Any other comments from board members? All right, we're gonna thank you so much. We're gonna go to 4D school survey report, Jenna.
Yes, thank you. This is Principal Eunice again. Ms. Samuels did present some of the school survey highlights, and I just want to expound a little bit more. So the annual school survey is open for 3 months from November through the end of February for staff, students, and parents and guardians to provide feedback on school culture and programming. So we push that survey out through text message, through phone call, and then through email, and then also through word of mouth as our academic advisors are meeting with students and parents at PAC meetings as well. We ask parents to participate in that survey. The topics include school safety and culture, as well as academics, desired career pathways after graduation, secondary plans, the level of contact and comfort with staff, and also the levels of learning and rigor that students and parents believe our program holds. This year, we have the highest rate of participation to date on the survey, and the results provide important insights for future planning for the leadership team. They were overwhelmingly favorable on aspects of culture, and our results have been shared with the school team, and we do discuss the data. We're also discussing whether the how we want to revise questions or add questions to get important data that we need for school programming for our next three-year LCAP plan, which we're currently in development. Please let me know if you have any questions about the school survey, and thank you for your attention.
Board President Stanford, that's a huge amount, 216. That's really good.
Wow. I was trying to see what we had last year. So last year, it looks like we had 119 students participate, so nearly double.
That's great. All right. I don't think COVID has made a lot of kids really don't think to do it. We're going to grow a lot. Any other comments from the board members? All right. So now we're going to go to 4D.
Hello, board. I just have a small update for you. It's just the line of credit update for Hanmi Bank, as well as LLAC. The only change on this document you see is updated as of March 31st, 2023. And again, the interest rate has gone up. And I'm sorry to report that, but the prime rate keeps going up. So the interest rate that they charge currently is gone up by 0.25%. So it's a prime rate plus 0.5%. So it's at 8.5%. So that's really the only difference. The school has met the covenant, so they're still qualified for the line of credit. And then on the bottom portion, you'll see LLAC, which is offering the school a fixed interest rate at 4%. So that still stands through the end of the fiscal year. So just updating you on this document. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to go over it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions from the board members? All right. Thank you so much. So now we're going to go to 4F, legislative update. Is Bob Morello on the line?
believe not. So Bob very kindly prepared me a little bit for this. Let me just pass on a few things. Last week, he and his team were in Sacramento meeting with legislators, staff, governor's office, legal cities, mayors, city council members, and staff from across the state, as they intended to do. A few bills in the Senate Education Committee next week may actually benefit Mission Academy, and one of them is sponsored by A-Class, and I mentioned that's kind of our Motorware Trade Association, especially focused on independent study in homeschools. And A-Plus is putting a bill that would kind of redefine the term to say flex-based instruction, which we think would be a positive thing, because it's reality. That's really what's happening. And we'll see where that one goes. Our lobbyists right now feel that may have a good opportunity. Doesn't seem to be one that would get anybody too upset. The other one that's up there, well, would extend charter school renewals for an additional 2 years automatically. Again, sounds good.
I know.
By the time it's done, might be only a year. Also, the kind of the risky part of putting this one in, a lot of our people had all talked about this a lot before they decided to get this one sponsored. There's always the possibility there'll be a lot of pushback on it. So we'll see what happens. Kind of the visibility of the whole issue is there anyway. So that was what we kind of decided before. Let's go ahead and see if we can get a renewal on that. And it'd be, of course, after others, it'd be more moratorium. But so this is kind of a good approach on it, I think. Also, our external affairs team continues to meet and communicate regularly with our legislative advocate in Sacramento, who keeps us apprised of any proposed legislation. And as I mentioned before to you, Michelle and I and Jeff are all on a weekly call in the morning, Monday morning every week. And this is a good thing because we won't have to go a long time without seeing something that's happening. Probably not much is going to happen for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll see what happens. So when the trailer bill comes out, I think I mentioned that to you all. That's been a new vehicle for just attaching things to what's called the trailer bill. So it's supposed to be dealing with the funding, but they slip things in. Yeah. So that's something we're keeping our eye on. Now, this is kind of exciting. Next month, he and his team are going to Washington, D.C. members of Congress and the U.S. Senate about our school and federal legislation. And as was touched on by Lindsay, part of the issue is the feds are the ones that came out and said, well, you can't use a 4-year, or you can't use 1-year, you have to use a 4-year. And California's trying to kind of, I think, push it back on that, but we don't know. But I think it's good that our people are actually going there so they have a voice in D.C. as well.
I love that.
So that's kind of the update for today. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Yeah. Positive. I'm going in the right thing. I use the term schools of choice. It's become a more positive phrase every day. So it's like we care. All right. Any comments from the board members? Okay. So now we're going to move to G, the 2023-24 board meeting dates. That's in your packet. And please realize that we're a little flexible on these because we just found a meeting in person. And somebody's going to say, oh my gosh, I'm having surgery that week. People just don't know. So be flexible, all right? So now we're going to look at 5 action items. The board will be asked to approve the declaration of need forms as a prerequisite to the insurance of an emergency permit and our limited assignment permit for teachers at the school for the 23-24 school year for California Code Regulations. And that's 8-0-0-2-6. And that's Lindsay.
Thank you, President Sanford. Board, you can find this document on pages 182 through 185 of your packet, the very last pages. The declaration of need was presented to the board on an annual basis at this point. Based on need, it's submitted to the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing, by local education agencies. The form contains the employing agency's estimated number of emergency permits, such as a provisional internship permit, short-term staff permit, emergency cross-cultural language and academic development permit, otherwise known as CLAD, and variable term waivers. Each year depends how many short-term permits we would need, depending on how many teachers are in the field and what the availability is. There's some years where there's teachers are abundant, and so you don't have to resort to an emergency permit. There's years like right now where there is a massive teacher shortage. Many teachers left the profession after the pandemic, and so what we're looking at is a lot of people that are coming from out of state. They may be credentialed in another state, but they get here and they don't have the CLAD, which is needed for teaching EL students. Or we might have specialized teachers are very hard to find. So you might need to hire like an intern special education teacher. Well, they fall in this category as well. So it just depends on the year and truly it depends on the pool of teachers available to hire. So we have to submit this form at the beginning of the year, like a crystal ball of how many teachers we think we're going to hire that have this type of permit. It's a round number. It's not guaranteed. It's just our best guess based on previous years and the hiring pool of the current year. Let's see. Anything I didn't cover? The document allows qualified individuals to be authorized to serve in their teaching assignment while they are working towards completing a full credential requirement. Are there any questions on this document? If not, then I would like to ask the board to approve the declaration of needs for the 23-24 school year.
This board president Stanford, we know there's a real shortage. I have a total life teacher credential. They don't do that no more. And maybe we need to think we're creating some healthy, good lifestyle teaching credential people to come in and just help us a little bit. Because some of us are not used to going back in the classroom, but there's a shortage. Okay, any questions from the board? Can I have a motion and a second to approve 5A?
And I'll make a motion to approve 5A.
John George, I'll second the motion.
Obviously, you know, the getting involved in that, the metrics of that. I want to thank Lindsay for explaining to us all the wonderful part of the metrics here on the board meetings. That's pretty important. And you get 52% now. When we finish, we'll be way over that 90% thing. So that's exciting. And I'm going to hit you with this. I love the core subject report because my thing is at least that half of them guys, you know, it's okay to do the electives. It excites the young people, but that doesn't necessarily move them on to real life and getting their core subjects down. I couldn't pass the math, so it's okay. Please excuse me on that. I'm not going to go on forever with this because I know there are people out there in a camper want to talk to somebody. So I'll send it back.
Thank you so much.
You know,
we always enjoy hearing presentations. So, Jerry Vincent, your turn.
Yes, thank you so much. And as always, Mr. Brown is quite comprehensive and always appreciate his comments and commentary. I just want to add to that, if I may, and I just want to pause on the success of the ADA increase of 20%. That speaks to the efficiency and effectiveness of Jenna's oversight of the educators and working with the students. And that is just fabulous. The delta between the 60-some percent, you know, up to the 80 high 80s, I'm not looking at the numbers now, but fabulous and very good work, Jenna. And increase, we have 75% of the credits that are being turned in that we are counting being core. I don't know that a program could improve that much in such a short time, more so than what you guys have done there. It's so good. It's fabulous. And I just have to shout out to Jenna and certainly Lindsay. And Lisa, I haven't had the privilege of meeting you. I look forward to that in the future. But thank you for supporting Jenna and all the work that is being done there with the program. And one last thing, Lindsay, you called it out. 90-plus, high 90s% of our students and our staff feeling connected in a virtual environment, that's something to be marked. And I just thank you for everything that you guys are doing in with the program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is the board president, Stanford. I call this a pocket of greatness. And we need to emulate it in other areas in learning for life because this is really working. 20% increase in ADA. I mean, you're the size of a brick and mortar school.
Uh-huh.
And Lisa, I love you coming on and being part of this. We're so happy to meet you. And I love to hear about the students, about Esther and William. You know, not all of our students graduate from us. We send them on, they tell their story, and they go to another place, and just like William did to graduate. And the other thing is, we augment summer school for everybody out there. And people need to know that we're doing a lot to help. We don't take kids from public schools. We help them on their journey to finish public school.
Want that. I can see the increase of where we're at.
it's exciting, and I think it's definitely a testament to our program. The main way we get students is word of mouth or prior experience in the program. So it's either their friends and family members are referring each other, or our summer program, which Lisa also has a huge hand in recruiting for that as another hat that she wears. I think kids come and experience the program, and they experience success, and they may not stay with us right then and there, but they'll come back later in a few months or maybe in a future school year. So I think when you have a successful program that makes kids feel good and parents feel understood, they return and they refer their family and friends.
So, Lisa, will you tell us what it is that you do?
Not to put you on the spot.
Okay, so I am Assistant Jenna with the federal and state reporting. I also do the outreach for summer as well. So I work with the school districts directly with the counselors, you know, just providing them information about, you know, the courses where we can offer their students. And just like building that relationship, I think it's really important to be that liaison between our school and the district. I also work on our, I also work on our full-time equivalency with Chris Hodge. I also work to support the other administrators as well, you know, with the teachers and just whatever they may need. I'm there to support them, our operations department. And
she just was organized. We just had a popper in.
We love having her here. We just kind of want to know you. When I walk in the room, I want to say, hey,
she's a sponge. She's just learning, and just attending meetings and getting to know people and just learning all she can to become,
how many years are you in charter schools and in our program?
I think I'm over 20 years.
Yeah.
She brings a lot of experience.
And I want to point out that Lisa has district representatives and counselors calling her, asking her about whether we're going to be offering July enrollment, short-term summer, you know, when they can get the information and when the course catalog will be available. And she's really built a lot of partnerships. She's focused on reaching out to schools that are outside of some of the Learn for Life site-based schools so that we can capture, you know, new clientele or even out here in Kern Valley, Kern County. So,
we're really trying to develop a presence in areas that are not currently supported by existing Learn for Life schools. And being a virtual school, we have that unique ability to do that without going in with a center, which, as you know, causes it has more overhead and more costs associated with it. But ideally, we're hoping to get out to those pockets that are where kids don't have options. People know that we're around, but Lisa's really gifted in. I can't emphasize enough. That customer service aspect of what Lisa does, she really listens to what our partners need and want from us, and we work really hard to provide that. So if they need a certain subject, content area, whatever, we work really hard to make sure they get what they need. And then also if there's any problems or they have questions, she's their go-to person if they need a record, whatever. So it's been really amazing having her, and she's a big part of why I think the summer program is so successful.
Any comments before you? All right, we're talking to you. Thank you. All right, so now we're going to go in the closed session. And so I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into a closed session for public employee performance evaluation, W.A. Section 549571, various superintendents. I have a motion and second.
I think I'll make a motion to go into the closed session.
June 7th.
Motion to adjourn.
Michael Lloyd seconded.
On a business motion, Michael Lloyd has seconded. We'll go to Carol Stanford. Aye. Deck. Aye. Michael Lloyd.
Aye.
Michael. Aye. Four votes. We are adjourned.